Welcome to the Sales Development Podcast, your go-to resource for all things pipeline and revenue production in the tech sales world. Technology marketing, sales development, sales, and revenue operations have combined to create the go-to market engine fueling the success of SaaS startups and established companies alike. Each week, the Sales Development Podcast dives deeply into the strategies, tactics, people, processes, and technology that fuels the revenue machine. The Sales Development Podcast is brought to you by 10bound. Get more free resources, insights, and intelligence today at 10bound.com. And be sure to like and subscribe on YouTube.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to another edition of the CEOs in Sales Tech podcast and series. I am so honored to be joined today by literally the top mind in the sales development online sales world, who has launched, I think, one of the most important tools that you can plug in from the sales tech space. Mr. Tito Bort, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, man. You are always so nice with your introductions. I think I need to go listen to every podcast here and see if you are saying such nice things about everybody or you actually like me. I don't know which one it is.
Well, no. I mean, Tito, you've been on the podcast a bunch of times, so you can go back and see how my introductions have evolved over the years. It's probably gotten better because honestly, though, no, I don't say this to everybody, okay? I've been following your work for years. We met like 10 years ago, and you have been in the trenches running sales development teams, running your own company that produces pipeline for other companies. A prolific thought leader in your writing and your webinars that you do on this topic. So yeah, I'm a huge fan. And what's cool about you is you don't just talk about theories and stuff like that and wave your hands at the whiteboard. Like, you're actually producing results for your customers every day. My question for you would be, okay, how did you get involved in all this and start to work through all these problems to create this tool that you've made?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like you say, I'm doing it every day. And when I write on LinkedIn or report results, it's not about theories. It's about what we're seeing work. And I'll have a few posts coming up soon after this podcast. We actually look at this crazy thing. We have several SDRs making phone calls into different personas. We decided about 2 years ago to start uploading into Outreach the time zone of the person that we're calling based off of their LinkedIn location. And the reason I'm doing that is because otherwise Outreach assumes that people are wherever their phone number's from. So I have a 305 phone number, which is Miami. But you remember, you and I met in San Francisco. I lived in San Francisco for a while. You would assume that if you're calling my number, I am Miami-based. But if you look at LinkedIn, it said when I was based in San Francisco, that I was based in San Francisco. Now, why did we do this? I want to know the time zone of the prospect that I'm calling. And I started analyzing the pickup rate based on 5-minute increments. AKA, what is the pickup rate between 9:15 and 9:20 in the morning on Tuesdays to CROs versus calling between 3:45 and 3:50 on Wednesdays? Is there a difference? And then you need enough calls. So we have 2 years worth of data now for a lot of different personas, and we're seeing incredible trends. Different personas pick up the phone at different times of the day at a higher rate. Engineers have different working schedules than HR people, so on and so forth. So you're going to see some cool things that I'm going to report on these like very, very nuanced metrics where you can start optimizing your bathroom breaks. You look at the clock, you're like, holy cow, it's 1:22. It's prime time between 1:22 and 1:30. I'm going to wait until 1:30 before I take my bathroom break. Let me make another 15 calls, have a higher chance of connecting on those 15 calls than if you go take a bathroom break, come back at 1:30, start calling at 1:30. Random things like that. But
that's crazy. That's what's so cool about the work that you're doing is that most people are just like, I just pick up the phone, just like call more. Now we've got so much data that's available and the systems that you've implemented that there's really no excuse to be so general about the advice that you're giving when you can literally time out your bathroom break. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And I do want to answer the question that he asked, which is how would I end up building this tool? I don't know if everybody listening to this podcast is familiar, but AltiSales as a company, if you look at what we do today, you'll find several things on our website. We do investments. We've deployed over $3 million of capital into early stage software as a service company. A lot of people have no idea that we're a VC. We have a sales development outsourcing, which is where we started. Companies can hire us for us to do all the pipeline generation for them or part of their pipeline generation. I mean, we work with IBM on the big side, and we work with Y Combinator graduates that only have design partners as zero customers, pre-revenue companies on the sales development outsourcing. We do trainings, we do custom projects, audits. We do a lot of things. You can find all of it on our website. And we also advise early stage companies and startups on that. But if you look at how we evolved, we started in sales development outsourcing. That's what we were hired for over and over and over again. As we were doing outsourcing, what happened is some of our customers have 3, 5, 7, 10 SDRs. And they looked at our performance and said, hey, Tito, you are 3x to 5x outperforming my internal SDRs with your team. Stop doing this outsourcing stuff. Teach me. Show me. Send me your IP. I want to see your scripts. I want to see your emails. I want to see your tools. Where are you finding these phone numbers? Why is your connect rate 25% higher than mine? And we're like, yeah, we'll show you. So then we added some what we call intellectual property, IP. We call it the AltiSales enablement package to our packages. Now, every company that hires us, if they work with us for a long enough period of time, they own everything. They own the cold calling scripts, the email templates, all the data, all the leads, all the accounts, all the account scoring. Everything we do is theirs. As those engagements were happening, there was one missing element, meaning all the customers were like, we would give them all the tools. We use generic tools. We use Outreach.io, ZoomInfo, Lucia, LeadIQ, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, all these different tools. All of them they can buy out of the box except our data. We were using the Outreach API and some other data tool APIs to extract data and analyze certain patterns. And our customers, as we shared the knowledge with them and left, they said, Tito, you were missing the most important elements. How do we iterate on the cold calls and how do we iterate on the emails? We no longer have that data. Can you keep using these Google Sheets and APIs and maintain these data points for us? And I was looking at it. I was like, it's not worth it. Like, what am I going to have? Like an engineer and a data scientist looking at 20 different Excel sheets and charge you how much? Like, it doesn't work. So we ended up deciding we're going to build a SaaS platform. We don't expect it to be huge. We're not IPOing that, but we have customers. Literally, I could show you Slack. We just closed another deal last night. Somebody said, okay, you're approved. Let's go. It's a 10K, whatever deal. It's not huge, but they really like the methodology. So we ended up building it to a SaaS platform. Now people can buy that. It's a plugin for Outreach.io. I might share my screen and show you, but it's all about how we use data to figure out what's working for us. It's been really, really, really exciting journey to get to where we are today.
Okay, let me just unpack that. That is so interesting because the order was initially you were an SDR outsourcing company and you had this amazing reputation of the results that you were getting for the customers, and you're still doing that. There's still all this data coming in from your customers on what's working and what's not. At the same time, you started to invest in other companies that you saw that were promising, whether in sales technology or in different technology spaces. Is that correct?
Yeah, many of them were my clients, right? A client would call and they'd be like, hey, we sold our previous company to IBM for $400 million. Now we just left IBM. We're starting a second business and we want to do it right. We have money. We need an SDR team. And they would look at how I build it and they're like, you're world class. I need you. And then I was like, okay, cool. You can pay me the regular fees or I'll give you 20% discount a year if in exchange you allow me to invest. Make me some spacing around. And many of these early stage founders were like, that's amazing, because then me as CEO, I have a vested interest, not in producing meetings, which nobody cares about, but in generating revenue that increases the company valuation. And then we're all aligned. That's why we started investing in our customers. I have incredibly smart technology people coming to me saying, we lack the go-to-marketing expertise and we're not lacking knowledge, we're lacking time. How do I stand up an SDR team in 2 weeks that can do a great job? I don't have account scoring. I don't have the messaging nailed. I don't have this. I don't have that. It feels like I need an army of people to come build this. And that was us. We go, we build it. In 2 weeks, we're dialing, start getting meetings. And I have a customer that started with us January 1st. Today's March 11th. They've already closed 4 trials, paid all of them, $15,000 in revenue. And the potential revenue of those 4 accounts is about $320,000. In 2 months worth of work, we might have created $320,000 worth of revenue. And I have equity in the business. I'm going to make a lot more money from the increased valuation of that company than I'm going to make from whatever fees they paid me these 2 months.
Oh my God. Okay. This is amazing. I think your phone's going to be ringing off the hook after this conversation with people that want to do this. And side question is, you're in Miami. Do you live in Miami? Because it seems like you want to be here in San Francisco still, because there's a lot of people running around who can't figure out their go-to-market and they don't even know if they have product market fit. They're really smart technology people, but they don't have the expertise that you bring. Wouldn't it make more sense for you to be here?
Convince my girlfriend. No. Okay. I've loved living in Silicon Valley for a little while, but so many companies after COVID went remote. I'm seeing more and more founders being based in places like Miami. I think the world is global and we have a really good reputation nowadays where we get a lot of referrals. I work with a lot of incredible venture capital funds, Unusual Ventures, Stage 2 Capital. They're friends of mine. So I talk to Redpoint here and there, whatever else. So you know this world.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
The good people will find each other. Do I think I'd be better off financially / business-wise being in San Francisco? I don't deny that. I think San Francisco is coming back. We talked about people like Jason Lemkin talking about it. True. The lifestyle sacrifice of having to move away from Miami. My brother lives here. My parents come every 3 or 4 months. They're based down in South America, whatever else.
You love it.
I don't think it's worth it for me. I'll gladly run the business out of Miami. And then the company's remote. I actually have a couple of SDRs in California. I have a couple of SDRs in Europe. I have a data research team in South America and in Philippines and whatever else. So because the company is distributed, it doesn't matter where I sit as CEO.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's a global world that we live in. And when I think of Miami, it's just, it's fun. That's the only thing that I think of. You go there, you get a drink, you have your shirt, your Hawaiian shirt, and you're just having a great time. But when people think of San Francisco, now it's like a bunch of bums sleeping in the street.
I'll tell you what's funny about Miami, and this has been changing. So one of the companies I invested when I was at the Saster co-selling space. The valuation of the company was $8 million when I invested. They are now worth $450 million in their last round, and the CEO moved to Miami with a few of the executives. There's more companies that you would think that are killing it and they're moving to Miami. And I have another friend in New York. They're a current customer. They're planning on moving to Miami. It's just like, it's a freaking winter. Everybody's freezing. And here we are in Miami wearing short sleeve shirts. And
oh my gosh. Okay. This is the last question about that. How do you get anything done? If the weather's nice, the beach is right there. It's such a magical place. I know that there's a lot of bad neighborhoods or whatever, but when I think of Miami, it's like, it's almost like you're on vacation.
I mean, it's just discipline, like everything. How do you stay fit? You know, it's the same thing. How do you stay fit when you have a pastry shop next to you that has the best and most amazing cheesecake? You just don't eat cheesecake every day. That's it.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. Now, just going back to the timeline, you're working with these clients and they're like, you're producing amazing results. Can you come in? Can you train us? Can you give us your playbook? Can you replicate your success with our in-house go-to-market team? And you're still doing that with them. And then finally, there's one missing piece, which is this data component. And it doesn't make sense to have a data scientist and analyst and all this stuff for you. So you made this SaaS product.
Correct. And the SaaS product just looks at the outcomes of their data. We're not accessing any PII. We're just looking at outreach and looking at like, how many calls did you make? What is the disposition of the calls? What is the length of the call? Do we have access to the call recording? Depending on the client, if they don't want to access the call recording, we don't need to. And we just label calls in certain ways and organize your data and help you understand where are your SDRs getting stuck and how do we help them do better.
Okay. Who would run that dashboard? This just depends on the size of the company.
The SDR leader is who you want accessing this consistently, like all the time, so they can look at what's really happening. With that data, you can run better team coaching sessions, but you can also run much better one-on-ones because I can understand what's working well, what's not working well for my team. If you want, I can show you a little bit of what it looks like. I know most people are going to be here audio only, but...
Yeah, if you're audio only, we'll just talk through what we're looking at. But if you're on video, then yeah, let's take a look. and see how it works. It's so interesting that we've done tons of work over the years with SDR leaders, and a lot of times they're flying blind, trying to use the data reports and things like that that are baked into Outreach or SalesLoft or Salesforce or HubSpot, and they don't have access to a secondary layer that's actionable.
Correct, 100%. And like, we want to look at both kind of like phone data and email data. I might start with the email data first, because this is going to shock you what I'm going to share with you. But most people here, the dashboard we're looking at is a sequence. You can see the different emails, email number 2, number 5, number 7, all the steps. And as you can see, in this case, every email has 3 different templates that we're ABC testing. Cool. What are we doing with that data? We know how many emails were delivered, how many were opened, and how many were replied to. Everybody knows that. There's nothing new. Where's the new part? All these emails are being separated into outcomes. How many have positive outcomes? Those are either a referral or somebody taking a meeting. How many are neutral outcomes, which is a no thank you? And then how many are negative outcomes, which are like, go to hell, stop. Don't email me again about this. Cool. Now look at this craziness. My best performing emails, what I end up doing is I grab the number of emails delivered and I divide it by the number of positives. This tells me how many emails do I need to send to get a positive reply. The average SDR takes over 1,000 email sends to get a positive reply. We know a lot about these pirates on LinkedIn that send tens of thousands of emails sometimes a week in order to get a few positive replies. I'm getting 1 out of every 144. On the next email, which is a bump, 1 out of 149. I have another one here. Look at this. 1 out of 79. 1 out of 21. I sent 21 emails. Somebody said, I'll take a meeting. It's absolutely crazy.
Wow. Okay.
This sequence, in and of itself, every 54 prospects I add, I get an email meeting. If I add 540 prospects, I get 10 meetings.
Okay. And when you say ABC testing, that's even beyond. I mean, most people don't even do AB testing, but you've got 3 different ones happening, and then they're all being tracked by this?
They're all being tracked. And as a manager, I don't need to be a math nerd or anything. What happens is, as soon as one email beats their counterpart, we have 3 different templates. As soon as one is determined by, we just run statistics. This is like, if you go to college and you take a few statistics courses, you'd be able to do that. We're going to determine the p-value, which is the percentage confidence that we have that one template has beaten another template. We can never be 100% sure, but in the world of science, people ask for a 95% confidence interval. In the world of sales development, we've decided that we don't need to be that sure. At 85%, we'll consider it done. So at an 85% confidence interval, you will get an email that will tell you, hi, David, on step 2 of this sequence called Fuse Finance Main, you can turn template ID 59 off, because we've now determined that the best template, which is ID 22, has broken the threshold of 0.85% p-value. And therefore, we don't need to keep testing. We're confident enough that this email is better. I've talked to organizations, I'm not going to name them, but you can think of them like the big boys in sales development. They have 20,000 sequences in outreach. 20,000 sequences in outreach. I'm like, what are the top 3 performing emails? I'm like, okay, what are the top 3 performing emails of this month? If I show you 3 different emails, could you tell me which one's better versus worse? And nobody has any idea, because everybody's creating sequences and sequences and sequences. If you use this tool overnight, you will know your top 100 best emails across all your sequences. I can find those for you. And then the only thing you need to do is decide how you arrange them.
If that 20,000 sequence person was talking to you, would you say, overlay this, analyze it, and then get rid of 19,900 emails? And just focus on the ones that are working? Or what do they do with all those 20,000 emails?
Yeah. Usually I'd say a small company that only has one product probably doesn't need more than 15 sequences. 15 sequences would be everything you need. If you're a company that sells multiple products to multiple personas, or you're a company, let's say like ClickUp or Asana, that can sell to different personas that have slightly different use cases, or you're a verticalized product where you sell either to engineers or to accountants, maybe you need 30, 40, 50, 70 sequences. I don't think any organization in this world needs over 250 sequences. anybody who's gotten their company to 1,000 sequences, you're already way above and beyond anything you need. And if you're a single product company that usually sells to kind of like a couple of personas, but you solve only one challenge or one problem, you don't need more than 20 sequences. This is the way that you go look at your sequences and you figure out what to analyze. And what I can do, I'm not going to show it fully, but if I click here, this will go and take me to the sequence within Outreach. And if I click on any of these templates, this will pull the template ID. Again, I'm not going to reveal my best templates on a recorded line, but you can see it all.
The secret sauce. And you have to have Outreach to run this. Is that correct? So it plugs in as a dashboard within your Outreach instance.
That's correct. We have the ambition to build this also for Salesloft and other platforms. Unfortunately, the Salesloft data infrastructure doesn't make it easy because of how they store the data. We're going to have to do a workaround and integrate directly into Salesforce or HubSpot and get the data out of there from the email sync. But because of those nuances, we're starting with Outreach. We have a couple dozen customers using this already with incredible results. I had a customer that their subscription expired Saturday and they messaged me on Sunday. They're like, Tito, I need this to prepare for my one-on-ones. Like, why is it off? I'm like, oh, didn't you see? Like, we put a notice when it's about to expire.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, to have your customers come back and be like, dude, I can't live without this.
Exactly right.
Let me ask you this. As you're moving on to the next part, what do you do if a prospect comes to you and they said, Tito, we've tried sales development, we've tried SDRs, it just doesn't work for us. What do you say to them?
I tell them the same thing that I think sales development is like a sport. I think of that like somebody saying, hey, David, I've tried doing a diet. I've tried going to the gym. It just doesn't work. I said, what the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean I've tried doing a diet and going to the gym and it doesn't work? You want to get a six pack? There's no other way than go to the gym and do the right diet. Now, if you're messing up your diet or you're exercising the wrong way, of course it's not going to work. You got to do the right thing, but you also have to do the right thing right. I can tell you where sales development doesn't make sense or where different ways of running sales development don't make sense. If you're selling a widget, $2,000 tool or a $5,000 tool, it might not make economical sense to hire cold outbound SDRs because those are expensive to run. Number two, the volume of meetings they can get. It's definitely harder to get a meeting with a Fortune 500 company versus getting a meeting with like an SMB, but it's not 100 times harder. And it brings 100 times the revenue. There's a revenue threshold where if you're $20,000 or less in average deal size, I don't think you should do cold outbound. But outside of that, even $10,000 to $25,000, if you do very high volume when you use power dialers and auto dialers, we don't do a lot of that. You can make it work. $25,000 and above, you should do ABM. And then it should work for everybody. It's just, you got to do it right. Another funny question I get is people come to me and they say, Tito, I've evaluated a lot of sales development outsourcing companies and like they all look the same to me. And we've tested one before and it failed. So I'm very skeptical. And I say, well, that's like me evaluating soccer players on what they do. If you look at me playing soccer and you look at Lionel Messi playing soccer, we both run, we both jump, we both kick, we both dribble. There's no difference whatsoever, right? Well, the difference is he makes $50 million a year playing soccer. And if I go try, I couldn't freaking do anything and nobody's going to pay me money to play soccer. But you got to know what to evaluate these people on. There's a reason why he makes $50 million. And he's on the field and he scores so much. And me, if you just grab a checklist, oh, do you use the phone? Yes. Do you use email? Yes. That's like saying, do you know how to jump? Do you know how to kick? It's not about what you do. It's about doing the right things right.
I think that's the takeaway. And do you find that most of your business comes in through referrals because people have worked with you before, maybe at a different company, and they're like, oh my God, I don't even want to waste my time with other companies. Let me just call Tito and we'll get this done.
We have a lot of customers that have come back over and over and over again from different companies. Like they used us at company A, then at company B, then at company C. Some of their people used us at company A, they go to company B, they just want to buy our SaaS solution, or they just want consulting, or they just want the data research piece, or they just want certain elements. Yeah. And then like when we work with early stage companies, then their friends are like, hey, I'm starting a company. Like I need sales development. How did you do it in the early days? And we get a lot of referrals. So
that's usually how it comes.
Yeah. We don't do a lot of outbound ourselves. for ourselves nowadays. It's kind of nice. We've also decided not to be a huge company. We want to be small and mighty. And as I was saying, we do a lot of investing. We'll make a good chunk of our money there. Yeah, one of my biggest paying clients came via cold outbound. Like, we called outbound prospect to them, did a meeting with a CMO. 6 months later, they came back. They said, we need 6 months. Then they came back and they said, we're ready to go. And they spend $700K a year with us, $600K a year with us, something like that.
Nice. And also, because of a lot of the work that you've done in thought leadership, then if they Google you, it comes up that you've got this point of view and you have a track record of stuff that you've done, and you're not just another, because there's so many outsourced SDR companies. I mean, anybody can just hang up their sign and be like, hey, I'm an outsourced SDR company, but you're actually legit.
I'll tell you, it's very easy to know who's legit, who's not. I will give you 100% guarantee that if I don't hit my meeting quota, and the meetings have to be with the right person at the right accounts, you give me a predefined set of target accounts, and you tell me director level plus or VP level plus, I'll tell you how many meetings we can get. And if we don't hit that, we 2x reimburse you. If I miss my quota by 20%, I give you 40% of the money back. If I miss it by 40%, I give you 80% of the money back. And what I mean by that is, David, I don't miss quota. I missed once for one client and I had to reimburse him. They're happy to be a referral customer as well. They're happy to talk to anybody. They'll tell you, we've done a really good job. Just had a really tough market. And I agree that I would do the project. And we learned, it's a good way to say that we failed on that one. But out of 93 teams, I've done 92 without other failures on our part. Now, how many of those meetings convert into revenue? How do you train your sales team? We have opinions there and we have different tools. We have an online course for all our clients on how to maximize revenue. There's a lot of nuances, because meeting generation is the first step to predictable revenue, but you're going to get meetings to pipeline and pipeline into revenue.
There's a lot that's outside of your control. You can control everything up to a certain point, but at some point, somebody from the company has to get involved and make it happen, right?
And what's important is the mindset of the sellers, because when leads come inbound, everybody who's coming inbound is in market. They're requesting a meeting. They're clearly interested in looking at technology. When you go outbound, only 3% of the leads that you're calling are in market. 7% are what I call open to change, meaning they're frustrated with their current solution and they're open-minded about seeing new tools. And maybe 40% of the market is what I call open to learn. They're not even interested in tool. But if you're going to share insights, ideas, processes, best practices, they're open to learn. If you're sellers, the only thing they do is they hop on a call and they say, what are your pain points? Guess what? 60, 70% of the meetings that you generate are not going to have pain points, or the pains that they have are implicit, not explicit. When I had a Nokia phone and he asked me if I wanted a new phone, I would have said no. It makes phone calls, sends text messages, and it has a snake. Why the hell would I change my phone? And right now, you grab my iPhone and you tell me, I'm going to give you a Nokia phone. And I say, are you fucking nuts? But at that point, I didn't realize that WhatsApp, investment.com, Robinhood, whatever, like all these other applications I use, checking my email, Spotify, all that is in a phone now. I wouldn't have realized those were pain points. And if you ask me, what are your pain points with your cell phone? I would say zero. But that's what sellers need to be very good at. And we actually train them. We help them. We have online courses. We build a client sales deck nowadays. We do a lot of really, really, really cool things. And that's why also we like investing. It's the only way that we win. We're not here to get meetings. We're here to get revenue. Obviously, super passionate about it.
When you say explicit versus implicit, that example that you gave is an implicit pain point. You didn't even know that your life could be so much more improved by, I can't see it, but if instead of a Nokia, you got this super powerful phone, whereas an explicit one is like, oh my God, we have no pipeline. I need an outsourced SDR company like today.
Yeah, correct. That makes you in market. If you look at the journey of buying, the first thing that needs to happen is that you realize you have a problem. You have to say, fuck, this is broken.
Yeah, I need help.
Then what happens when you realize you have a problem? Everybody does, every company, every leader, you put it on your laundry list of things you got to do. I got to fix our SEO. I got to fix this. I got to fix that, blah, blah, blah. That means that your pain is explicit, but you're not yet in market. At one point, you get to that point where you say, I got to be working on this SEO piece. You start working on that SEO piece. Now you're in market. But other times, you don't even realize. I've operated my company without doing any SEO for 10 years now. Zero SEO. until I said, you know what? It's on my list of things to improve at some point. Let me go work on that. Called up a buddy. He's really good at SEO. I'm doing SEO now, right? I got to become in market. But if somebody called me 3 years ago and said, Tito, I think we can bring you more inbound leads, or hey, we're sharing best practices on how agencies are using content to drive more inbound leads. And let me tell you this, Tito, you're going to start finding opportunities that you never thought you would. We had another SDR agency that just got an inbound lead from one of the top 5 banks in the world for them to do sales development, reaching out to treasury teams and blah, 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 and they're killing it. Because these banks pay tons of money for sales development because they had no freaking idea how to do it. It's no longer tech. But the only way you can source those leads is via inbound leads, because these people are looking how to build pipeline in the banking sector. And when I look how to build pipeline in the banking sector, not one page of AltiSales shows up in the first 10 pages of Google. Nobody's ever going to find you. How are you getting those leads? I would have said, holy fuck, dude, that's right. You're right. I have a problem. Or I have maybe not a problem, but an opportunity to improve significantly in a way that would generate a lot of revenue. And I'd say, how much time, effort, and money will it take me to get to the point where I'm in the first page of Google? And they'll be like, yeah, you know, 6 to 9 months at X many thousand dollars per month. If you invest, we'll guarantee that for 10 different phrases or keywords, you show up in the first page of Google. Okay, maybe that will be worth it. Maybe not. I don't know. You decide. That's the difference. You would be getting me at that point telling me about this SEO as somebody who's open to learn. Tito, we're sharing the best practices of how other agencies have ranked in the first page of Google and gone very interesting leads. Would you like to learn their techniques and methods? I say, yes. I come in, you show me. They're writing content, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're getting backlinks, blah, blah, blah. Then I say, wow, that's interesting. And then I say, but wait a second. If I need to hire a content creator, a backlink optimizer, an SEO, blah, 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 I just don't have time. I don't know how to manage them. It's 5 people. It's a ton of money. And they say, Tito, don't worry about it. We're an agency. We do it all. And we do it for $10,000 a month.
Done.
That's cheaper than me building in-house. And I think the value is going to be there within 6 months. What guarantees do you have? 2x on failure of achieving goals. I'm more likely to test it. I'm open to learn. And you've moved me from open to learn to open to change, from open to change in market. Now that I'm in market, I'm going to go with the solution that I trust the most. Guess who I trust the most? Whoever educated me through the journey. So I'm very likely to buy from the company that outreached to me.
Oh my God, this is like a masterclass. This could be the whole thing right here. That is so interesting, because even just today, I got an outreach from someone on LinkedIn, and they were talking about how they want to help me with my SEO, and they've done all these things and blah, 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 blah. It was all about them. And I mean, I get like 5 of those a day. And so you just ignore it. But with what you're describing, it's a completely different approach and a different lens in getting people into your education process.
Yeah. You have to decide if when you're doing outbound, you're going to be reaching out to companies that are in market or to companies that are open to change or open to learn, right? SEO agency, I want to just find people in market. What do? I get a parallel dialer. When people pick up the phone, you say, hello, this is David. And I say, David, do you need any SEO services? Yes or no?
Yeah.
And if I say no, I say, okay, fuck you, David. Goodbye. Right? And I just hang on you. Because what am I trying to do? I'm just trying to capture the demand.
Yeah.
Right. Go fast and like burn through the market.
Break things.
Yeah. Find the 2% that's in market, and to the rest, just tell them to go away.
Yeah.
Option number 2, and I hate that approach, by the way, because you're just annoying your prospects. Option number 2, get the people who are open to change. You pick up the phone and say, hi, David, I'm curious. We're very well recognized in the space. We do SEO services. Just wondering, what are your biggest pain points when it comes to SEO? How are you managing it? And you're like, hey, no pain points. You're like, no areas of improvement? Are you doing it in-house? You have an agency? You're like, I'm not doing anything. I'm like, would you like to start? You're like, no, no, thank you. Cool. You don't have any pain points. You wouldn't like to start. I hang up on you. Goodbye. Option number 3, I'm trying to get the open to learn. You pick up the phone and say, hey, this is David. I say, hey, David, we're sharing the best practices on how small sales development companies have been able to improve their SEO. We're going to tell you the techniques, the methods, the processes, the tactics, everything that you need to build an SEO. It's an open webinar. It takes about 30 minutes just so you can get started on knowledge. Just wondering, where are you in your SEO journey? And you're like, I haven't even started my journey. I'm at 0, dude. I haven't done any SEO ever. I don't have a marketing department. I'm a solo entrepreneur here. I have an incredible reputation, but that's it. And I say, wow, that'd be a really good fit, man. I think you're going to learn a lot. We're going to show you how X agency and Y agency have done it. Do you have like maybe 30 minutes to take a look at this webinar and learn about it? We're going to screen share. We're going to share you. We're going to make it personalized. Cool. You're going to be like, what's the catch? What product do you sell? Nah, we're not going to talk about us. We're an SEO agency, of course, but today I'm calling from the marketing department. We're just sharing some of the best practices. Come on over. How about Tuesday, 10 a.m.? And you say, sure. Now, when you show on Tuesday, here's the biggest thing. If you show on Tuesday and they're like, hey, this is David. And I'm the account executive. I'm like, hi, David. What got you to join today? You're like, well, all the info you said you're going to share. Going to share all these best practices, right? And the AE is like, what best practices? No, dude. What are your pain points?
Here's my demo. Yeah. Oh, man. Blew it. Yeah.
So you need to align the whole company from the SDRs to the AEs. You got to optimize for the experience of that buyer. And if you do that, you're going to win. Anyway.
Oh, my God. You're giving me like 10 different ideas for 10bound myself. So I'm jealously getting all this information. Last question for you. Of the VC firm, the outsource SDR, your new product, the advisory work that you do, which one are you the most passionate about right now or the most excited about? Or is it just like this big swirl in the mind of Tito, the MODOK? You're almost like MODOK, you know, this mastermind.
For me, they're all interconnected because when I get a big company with 30 SDRs that wants to come work with me, they usually start with the agency. We do the agency. And at the end, we're going to collect hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work on the agency. And then when they want to leave, I'm not just going to be like, okay, bye, have a nice one. They're going to say, I want your SaaS product. So what do I get? I get $20,000 to $100,000 worth of recurring revenue. And it's so sticky because we've done the work for them. So it's beautiful. Then they leave. And now I have money coming in without doing any work because I did it in the past. On the other hand, when I get this small company, I give them a discount on the agency because they're going to let me invest. Mm. Beautiful. Excellent. Now, for me to be able to be there, you must have raised a seed or a series A for you to even have the money to afford me. If you haven't even raised a seed round, you're not going to be able to afford. We start at over 100K, at over 150K, actually. So like, if you don't have 150K to deploy, then you can't hire us as an agency. Now, wait a second. What if you're earlier than that? Well, I do advisory. You come to me, I meet with you once every 2 weeks for 6 months, and then once every month for 12 months, and I help you get to a seed, and I introduce you to the investors. And then as soon as you get money, you hire my agency. Eventually, you get big, you get the SaaS product.
And I can invest in you.
They're all interconnected. It's not like is one product. Yeah, correct. And I'm going to invest in you.
That's crazy. Okay.
It's all one and the same. I'm just providing more services to the same companies.
You're like the linchpin in the whole thing. And what happens if somebody calls you and they say, hey, we're being sold to a different company. You invested 5 years ago and you're getting a check for $50 million. What would you do once that hit your account? You paid your taxes. Everything's good. You've got $50 million, whatever it is, and you're totally good. What would you do the next day?
I would move out of San Francisco and into Miami.
Okay. No, I'm talking about you. You already lived in Miami. Oh, okay. So that already happened. So you're just doing this for fun.
No, it didn't happen.
Okay.
That didn't happen. I wish I had 50 million here, David.
I really want to know because you're so passionate about this. Would you keep doing this as is if you just banked this huge amount of money?
I'm not working for money anymore. I'm lucky to say that. Obviously, I'm not married. I don't have any kids. I'm in my early 30s. But I definitely have a lot more money than I currently need. So like, I don't work for the money. I work because I freaking love this. And my ambition is to disrupt venture capital a little bit. I want somebody to get a check from Sequoia Capital or from Benchmark or one of these great VCs and to have a check from me and say, tell Sequoia, sorry, Sequoia, I'm taking AltiVenture's check, not yours. That's the moment I want to be like, there's a legacy here. We build something special. That's my next milestone. Probably once I get there, I'm going to want something else. But when I was younger, I had a number of like net worth I wanted to get to in my head where if I got there, I made it. I already got there and my lifestyle didn't change. I live where I want to live and I'm super happy and I keep doing the awesome work that I love doing. And I'm just passionate about this space.
Oh my gosh. It's almost like you got to the top and then you're like, okay, now I got to go to this one and I got to go to this one. And you just kind of keep going up for as long as you get to spin around the sun, right?
That's how it goes.
That's amazing.
Thanks for having me on this podcast, man. This was super fun. Great conversation. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we will make sure that we get everybody over to Alti Ventures, Alti Sales, get the thing plugged in. Thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom, Tito.
My pleasure, David. Have a good one. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Sales Development Podcast, the only audio forum 100% focused and dedicated to sales development. Please be sure to subscribe to the show on YouTube and take a moment to leave us a review on iTunes. Your support makes our show possible. If you are struggling with your sales development program, contact us at 10bound.com for a no-obligation exploratory call. Again, that's 10bound.com.